Albanian blood. Not a gang, need my hand like I'm John a leader. All my brand Benjamins like I'm John a leader. John a leader. Everybody's been calling us and asking us to do a show. So this is going to be our first week at answering everybody that asked us to do shows, from the guys that have contacted us from prison, from the streets, our friends, fans. And I just want to introduce ourselves. I'm Johnny and Gene Show, and I'm Johnny Alight, and you're obviously
Morello.
So the guys that don't know us or don't know me and know Gene, or the opposite, we hope you guys are interested in hearing what we have to say from the people that did contact us. And we're going to do a weekly show, and we're going to try to address everything that everybody's asking us to talk about. And one of the things is, a lot of guys are asking us to talk about different mob guys that you know and I know, and that they're interested in hearing about what's really the facts about what they're about and what they're not about. So, you know, obviously the way we grew up, and you know the way you grew up, a different era than mine, the next generation after me, there's a lot of haters out there, you know, guys that are going to just hate. And, you know, we got a good song that we both like by Drake, right?
Yes. From
Energy.
Yes.
I think it represents us, right? Right, both of us.
Yes.
So, you know, we're going to play that for you guys, and during the show, we'll constantly hit that up. Peter, our producer, is involved with us, Peter Black.
Yes.
And, I think you guys will get a kick out of some of the things we're going to talk about and say.
I think they're really going to enjoy it, because, you know, we, like I said, we speak from the heart. We tell how it is, and people don't like to hear the truth sometimes, but we're going to give them the truth. You know what I mean? And you want to jump it off?
Yeah, well, let me talk a little bit before, like what we talk about COVID-19 and the seriousness of that for the guys that are in prisons, that
right.
We know, you know, try to keep yourselves as safe as possible. And for the people in the public that are dying, or know people that are sick, or know people that are dying, you know, our best wishes go out to them. And, you know, hopefully we get through this as a neighborhood and as a country and stuff. And it's a terrible thing. But, you know, we talk about keeping things positive, and that's one of the things we got to strive in, keeping this positive too.
All right. And like I said, this COVID-19, it has no name on it. It's attacking anyone, old people, young people. You know, it's killing everybody, and people really need to take it seriously, because it's really like a movie outside right now. There's no one outside, man. Everyone's inside. Everyone's scared to death. You know, it's really dangerous, man.
Hey, you know what? Somebody just texted me, and actually earlier today, and said this is like a Twilight Zone movie. Like, people really like some of these movies that you see. This is realistic. This is crazy. You know,
right.
You go to the beach or something, you do something, you let your guard down, kind of like the street, right? You let
right.
your guard down for 5 minutes, and you know you could get killed. And with this disease, if you touch the wrong thing, come into wrong contact with somebody, you lose your life. So they got to take it serious. People got to really, you know, think about this. You only got
right.
one life.
And what's getting me nervous is that they say the heat kills it, but Florida and California have tons of cases of it. So how does it?
Yeah, I think that they don't know enough about it. Cause same thing with Brazil. Brazil's got a ton of cases, and it's, you know, it was the summertime there, and. So it doesn't make sense. I don't think it's like a typical flu, obviously.
Right.
So anyway, I want to move on to a little bit before that about politics. And, you know, we're both Republicans. We both like right. President Trump.
Right.
And I think that, you know, one of the things I think we got to say to people that are from the states and other countries, because, you know, we got a big following of people that know us from different countries. Let's not buy Chinese no more. Anything that's labeled made from China, you know, let's blockade it, you know, where we'll start a trend with people. And
right.
just, let's go back to really, you know, appreciating America, and exactly what the president said. You got to have borders. I said, you know, if you don't have borders, they're going to come in with different diseases. Terrorists, this is a thing that really opened our eyes. How easy is it for terrorists to come in and do the same thing with some sort of virus? Now, this is 2020, man. This is like one of those movies that you see in futuristic in 2008.
Right.
But this is 2020. So what the president's saying is real, man. He's got a good foresight of seeing what could happen, and it did. And then on another front, I would talk about my lovely woman that I really dislike.
Oh, my God.
Pelosi.
I already know who you're going to say. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
And look what she's doing. She wants to give money, and they allocated money for illegal immigrants in this country. But we got veterans that need better care, you know, as far as, you know, mental institutes after coming back, PTSD, coming back as far as care from after their injuries, losing limbs. And then you have them, a lot of guys that are homeless and on the street that are veterans and regular Americans. Yet we don't support them. And a guy from California, San Francisco, was talking about it. His father was a captain on a Navy ship, and his grandfather was. And he made a lot of sense. And he says, why aren't we helping them, but we're helping illegals? It right. doesn't make sense. Not at all. They can't explain that. Why are we leaving Americans not being taken care of?
She basically, you got to understand what Nancy Pelosi's whole objective is, just to make Donald Trump look bad. So anything that she can do to make him look bad or make him look like he's lying or, you know, against the people, that's her objective. That's all she cares about. She don't give a fuck who lives, dies, or nothing. She just wants to make sure he gets out of office. That's
well, it. You see what she said. She said in March, let's go eat and go eat Chinese food. And as you know, President Trump is, a racist and this nonsense for closing the borders. After they seen it was the correct decision, they went back in reverse and they attacked Cooper Anderson Cooper, whatever his name is, right. Schumer, Pelosi. But if you go back and look at their videos and what they said, they made fun of Trump. They attacked him for reacting too soon. And he happened to be 100% right. Now they're saying he reacted too slow. But if you go back, videos are videos. That's a good thing. You can catch them all in their bullshit.
Listen, you have to love Trump. I'm going to tell you why. Because he says what people don't want. He says what people really want to say, but don't have the balls to say it. And people can't handle the truth. So he puts it out there, what he really feels and what's really going on and the problem in this country. And people don't want to hear that. You know what I mean? Well, they want to hear the make-believe stories. You know what I mean? To make them feel better. You know, they don't want to hear what the real problems are. So he's one of the best. He is the best president to me.
Without a doubt. I agree with you. And here's the thing. You got people like Pelosi who want socialism. And I said it 100 times. It's the brother sister to communism. And, you know, the people, my nationality being Albanian, we lived under our families under Hoxha. And right. Hoxha was a Communist Party leader. And it's the same thing with socialism. You know, a woman like Pelosi wants to talk about giving free this, giving free that. She's trying to bullshit, you know, to let immigrants vote and give it to the minorities. And this is, and a lot of our friends, me and you both, we have a lot of Black and Spanish friends. And we got friends that are white that, you know, that don't have money. And it doesn't really matter. Right. When somebody gives you something with their right hand, they're taking it with their left. We discuss this. Right. You know, Pelosi's sitting on a mountain of money. So she really believes in socialism. Give up that mountain. Give it to all the people that have no money. Give it to all the groups, white, Black, Spanish, Indian, Arab, whatever, that need the money. And go to the same doctors that you want us to go to. And I'll believe what your bullshit you're selling about socialism. So, and then again, you want to control, what she's trying to do is control the public by giving. And by giving, they have no word or no control. You take it away. So, right. You know, her beliefs in government is ridiculous. And, right. You know, as far as President Trump, he believes in what we all believe in. You know, like our lives, take a negative and be positive. And back to Drake, the song of positive energy, and don't let anybody bring you the negative bullshit and the haters. So right. Do your thing, but, you know, do it, you know, in a positive way. So, right. You know, that's our message, right?
That's right.
Is really, let's not complain about our past because we all had hard lives, and let's move forward. We didn't come with a silver spoon in our mouth like some of these guys we're going to talk about.
Right. So I want to ask your personal opinion. I'm sure you watched the Felix Levine show. He's our friend. He's a good guy. He has good interviews. What do you think of the Mike Francesa interview? What do you think of him?
Well, I'll give you a complete lowdown on Michael. Michael's a very, very well-spoken guy.
He is.
He dressed well. He knew how to make money.
Right.
He knows how to snow job people. And the thing I don't like about Michael or care about his personality, he'll have something to say about me or you, I guess, and that's fine. And as gentlemen, we'll ask him, you want to come on the show? Come on. And right. We'll discuss it. But when you're pushing religion and you're pushing God and you're sending one message and then you're stepping on that message and you start talking and praising different gangsters, you're praising the life, you're talking nonsense, you're praising Gotti Senior or whoever, and you're sending a different message. So First off, you didn't know Gotti Sr. like that. That's first off. You didn't have interaction with him like that.
Right.
And second, about yourself, you kind of like Gotti and himself, meaning Gotti Jr. You want to talk against your father. You want to blame your father for your life. You want to say you didn't cooperate when you did like Jr. Right. And you also want to turn around and say you were a boss. And just like Jr., you guys exploit your father's names. And then you try to make money off them. And at the same time, you're bullshitting people because without your fathers and without that spoon in your mouth, how the fuck were you going to get straightened out or be a street guy? And this is why we don't respect them. That's why I don't. That's why you don't.
And that's what I want to make clear. Like I people are saying, well, why do you have a problem with him? He says, I don't have a problem with him. My problem is this. It's not really a problem. It's just like I'm out here saying what we really did. You know, we were out in the street doing dirt, doing things, and we changed our lives and being good people. But he's sending mixed messages. You're saying you're a changed man, but you're still glorifying. You sit there and say, oh, I didn't cooperate. I can't talk about these things. Like, you cooperated, man. Guys have paperwork on you. You know, you aren't making $10 million a week. That's ridiculous. Like, $40 million a month? Pablo Escobar wasn't making that kind of money. It's like, you know, you're selling the public bullshit. You still talk like your 1940s capo regime. Nobody talks like that, man. It's like, he's giving scenes out of The Godfather. Like, just be yourself. Like, be real. I would like the guy. He seems like a cool guy. Just sit down. I say, listen, this is his real story, and this is what I was doing. And, you know, I got into the mafia because of my father. I really wasn't a tough guy, a street guy. Just be real, like we are. You know what I'm saying? That's why I don't respect him. And that's the God's honest truth. And if he wants to come on our show and talk to us, I'll ask him just one question. What did you ever do in your life to become a skipper or a capo regime, as you want to call it? A lot of captains that I know were tough. Some of them are balls. You know, a lot of captains, you got to have that rank. You got to. Guys got to respect you. They got to answer to you. You know, you got to have a crew that respects you. I would never answer to a guy like that.
Well, here's the problem. You got a lot of guys like that. He's not the only one. Your old boss, Ronnie G.
Right.
Same position. How did he get in the mob?
Right. Remember the thing. But me, you see, when I was in the older generation, your generation, you know him differently than we know him because there was nobody really around our generation like that. So he stood out more. Now, in your generation, a lot of guys says, yeah, he did nothing. But like in our generation, it was easy for him to stand out because there was really nobody around. So he could play the role of a capo regime, as you want to say. I mean,
these guys aren't going to get out of respect. Neither one of them. You know that. Without you, Ronnie doesn't collect money. Without you, Ronnie can't run around the neighborhood.
When he was in jail, he couldn't collect a dollar till I got out. He had hundreds of thousands of uncollect money that I had to go grab from him everywhere.
Well, if I'm correct, the only person you know of that, or any kind of piece of work he claimed to you that he did was, you tell it.
He said he shot down a Cavalcanti, which he never did. His cousin Jerry did. Right.
So, you know, he's bragging up. This is a guy that became a captain.
Right.
And never did anything. I openly said he set up one of Gotti's brother-in-laws for me. I left him on the street for dead. And he picked him up and he took him to the hospital.
I heard that story years ago. Yeah, I heard it.
So you tell anybody that we're actively involved in a life, in any crew, any street guy ever heard of somebody setting a guy up and him the one that's picking him up to take him to a hospital. So what kind of move is that? But this is a guy that's not about anything. So if you're bragging about shooting a girl, that's nothing to be proud about.
That's exactly
why we're going to call these guys out on this stuff.
Right.
If somebody tells me about him pulling a score or doing something or getting involved even though this is a negative life in the past. But you know what? If you were involved, and we'll respect you if you were involved on the street, getting dirty, doing shootings, doing robberies, getting involved with your hands dirty. But you're just another spoon-fed guy that got a position because your Uncle Vinny was a skipper in the Banana family.
And then, he was a real guy. Vinny was
an old-time gangster. He's been legit around forever. Gangster.
And, I always give credit. Legit.
And actually, he was a big earner in my day.
Oh,
and then whatever happened to him with money after that. But you know better than I do. Did the guy that he straightened out his nephew, brought him up, a guy that never did anything. Tell me, did he take care of Vinny later on in life?
Wouldn't give him a dollar. Guy's walking around with no money. I had to give him money to pay his rent. Wouldn't give him $1. The only guys that looked after him with money. That was it.
It's amazing. So, how would Ronnie be able to live without you? Without you there, pulling, you know, doing the scores, without you strong arming from, without you doing all his dirty work, he's not about work. So how is he going to live without you? Same thing when you walk in a prison system. The same way when I'm in jail and you're out on the street, all I hear is your name. I don't hear anybody else's name. So, you know, whether I knew you and your family, which I'm very good friends with since I'm a kid. So whether I knew you and your uncle, Fat Andrew Ruggiano, who's a serious boss in the days and straightened out with Albert Anastasia, your cousin Anthony Ruggiano was my friend, and Albert, you know, your other cousin Johnny Boy was my good friend. I mean, but these guys were get down and get dirty guys. Guys were nice guys, too. But you're not going to get our respect if it wasn't your family or not. They ain't going to get our respect either if they weren't. If they pretended and they were frauds and pretended to be something they weren't.
Right.
We wouldn't respect them. Correct? I mean, you know, so this is the problem with a lot of these guys. They're trying to project something they're not. And, I got an issue with it. You got an issue with it.
Right. And to also go to the next topic, what do you feel about John Gotti Jr. becoming a Latin King? Let me ask you a question. I mean, I hate to bring this name up because they love the attention, but it's just, you have to talk about it for a few minutes. I'm sorry, because me and people that I know and regular people, we die laughing over this because he really still believes, like the media still believes like he's a gangster. It's so funny.
Well, you know, again, the people that don't understand the street.
Right. They don't understand how he don't come around the mafia neighborhoods and he's not like around.
Well, he got chased.
He's fucking cabin, right.
Yeah. So, you know, the problem is, and, you know, you spoke to some of the guys who were in the penitentiaries with me in Brazil in 2005. Right. You've been speaking to them lately, especially, and they told you how we got the messages in those jails, and Gotti started cooperating. He made a meeting to be Queen of the Day. And for the people that don't understand what Queen of the Day is, it's an introduction to meet the FBI.
Wait, that's good. Explain to them, because people don't understand what that means. So we can tell the public what Queen for a Day means, because I know what it is and you know what it is, but a lot of people don't. So explain to them. Go ahead.
Well, it's there is no snow job about, you know, they invited us to come in. No, when they ask you to come in and you walk in with your attorney and you sit down for what they call Queen of the Day, which is a proper session. Right. And that proper session is you sit down, they ask you any question they want, and you're there only to give up information against street guys. Right. Doesn't necessarily have to be mobsters. It could
now,
be mob.
Now, interrupt you. Let me ask you a question. Whether you lie to the feds or you told them the truth, once you sit, what are you labeled in the street, no matter what?
You're done. You're right. That's it.
Okay, so now once you sit, like, it don't matter. Like me, I keep it real. Once you sit in that chair, when I was a regular street guy and someone called me and said, listen, this guy sat, but he lied to them. He's a rat. That's it. There's nothing else about it.
Well, you know, the problem is once he ratted, the paperwork's out. He did videos. We all know that. He's not really a subject to talk about because he's not a street guy. He's not.
Right.
You know, whether people like him or dislike him, that's up to them as a person.
Right.
And the message is, and we're going to call guys out, is, are you fake or are you not? You're not about nothing, and that's it. He's not. So, you know, he's a spoiled guy like, you know, a lot of these guys we're going to call out. You know, you can say about Michael, you weren't, you know, franchise now. You didn't get to no fist fights. You weren't, like you said, he didn't even square the water pistol, right?
Right.
We joke about it. He didn't use a cap. But the truth is, that's fine. If you're, you know, a Tommy Gambino who's just a nice guy that was a businessman, that got involved in a life, that's his business, because he projects himself exactly what he is. But when you project yourself as a street guy, tough guy, running around and getting dirty, then, we're going to call him out.
Be honest with you, one of the nicest guys I ever met was Jerry Asaro. He was the nicest guy. You never even know.
You like Jerry, and you know, I got
so friendly. Super friendly, man.
Yeah,
I'm
on a different thing. I didn't have a friendly base.
He was so friendly.
It was different with me. And again, we'll keep it real. Maybe he was. If I would have met him on a different term, maybe I would have liked him. I don't know.
Right.
But, you know, I don't have – at least I got to say one thing about him. He didn't run around the neighborhood trying to act like he was a killer. He didn't.
Right.
He didn't do that.
Right.
So, you know, I can respect him on a different level. You know, but these guys that want to walk around like they did something, they're about something. It's really a joke. I mean, you know, one of the same guys that I talk about, Frankie Giudice, right?
Oh, my God.
Now,
bro.
You can tell me.
I know. This is one thing I can say. Ronnie G slapped him unconscious, but I got to be honest with you. Unconscious, slapped him. It was so embarrassing, but I felt so embarrassed for the guy. He was unconscious, out cold, and it's like, That it was so embarrassing, bro. And then Ronnie took one of his guys, and Frankie Radici's like, you know, he owes me $50,000. Ronnie goes, he owes you nothing. Take a fucking walk. And he literally can't do nothing about it, bro.
Yeah, well, you know, and again, he ain't gonna do nothing about it for a couple of reasons. One, they know you're in the background. That's the
right. Well,
that's the story. You know, the story is, the label is like anything else. You drink a bottle of soda and it's not labeled, and you're drinking, you know, it's Coca-Cola. You're respected because you know it's Coca-Cola. It ain't some brand that nobody heard of. So it's the same thing with you. You know, and guys ask me, why do we get along so well? It's not so much your family, because I relate to you. I listen to you like other people do. You're a real guy. You've done what you did. You changed your life. And this is the whole point, right? We want a positive message to the kids.
Right.
Don't buy into this bullshit, these fake guys.
Right.
Don't buy into a guy that's claiming he shot a girl and never did anything else.
Right.
He never shot. Don't buy into, you know, Michael's stories, I'm a cop regime, whatever he wants to say. When, you know, come on, man, we'll steal your milk money. So, you know, stop your nonsense. You know, be a guy you are. You know,
I hate to talk like this, but, like, you know, he says he used to keep 10, 12 million in his house. I wish I knew he had 10, 12 million in his house.
Well, I want to know what he would do if he knew you were coming for it or guys.
Oh, my God.
What's going to be his, what can he possibly do? Yeah, the only thing you can do is try to make a phone call to somebody ourselves to help them. You know, and there's guys out there, you know, that are actively involved in the tough guys, and there's guys in the past as well. But the guys we're mentioning, none of them happen to be tough guys. Not one.
Right.
They're not about anything at all. Completely nothing when it comes to violence in the street or even making money. A lot of these guys didn't make a dollar. Well, Michael did, obviously. But, you know, guys like Ronnie, he didn't make no money before we were all around. When we all were, you know, gone. Yeah, he made some money. It's like Ronnie Warnock.
He became a millionaire. Yeah.
Ronnie Warnock, same thing. He was in the street. He never made a dollar. He was broke. When everybody went away, the same guy.
Well, his son made him rich.
Yeah, well, I heard I heard his son made him some money.
And
again, you look at these guys, like how he got his money. But the thing is, he's another guy. Go read his opening statement. His opening statement, and we can leave me out of his opening statement. He does his own opening statement in his own voice. He gives up Vinny Asara about five times in the opening statement. So,
Vinny didn't like him.
Yeah. Well, they hate each other. So, Jerry was married to the sister of Nancy, was married to Ronnie Warnock, who everybody knows we had a dinner party, and I was the godfather of his daughter, Bliss, and Vinny Gotti's wife, Camille, was the godmother of the baby we had at Bella Vita. That picture's out there from when we were young. But now Ronnie comes in and he does that opening statement and gives up Young Guns. He gives them up during his opening statement and he throws them under the bus to kill any chances they might have or try to have for appeals. You know, besides giving that, he gives up. He allocutes to being a gangster. He allocutes to the existence of the mob. He allocutes to a position in the mob. And then he throws me and Junior under the bus 14 times that we are partners in the drug business, me and Gotti. And then he says, also, coming back to me, if he wasn't nice to me and said hello, I'd kill him like I killed everybody else. He was afraid of me. So these are his own words. He can't say the lawyer said it, he said it. Right. Now, the guys in other crews and everybody is hearing these statements. Where's everybody at? You know, this is the question to tell these kids that want to join the mob. This is what we're dealing with. Or Joe Messina, who became a boss that went to trial, similar to Junior. And then after he lost trial, he ratted. So, you know, people under the belief once Junior, you know, was queen of the day, he went to trial. He didn't go to trial. He went to trial. If he loses trial, continues ratting. He never does a day in jail. We ain't not going to fit anybody. He wouldn't take the stand and whatever, his deal fell through. But he still cooperated. So we're going to call everybody out, you know, in these positions that did these things.
Right. And like I said, you know, eras were different. Your era was more dangerous. You know, mine was not as dangerous. But, you know, like I said, my captain, who I answer to, he got the shine in my era. So we didn't really know, my guys didn't really know how he was back then because we weren't around. You know, we were younger. So he played the role very well for now.
But you personally, I wasn't around anymore in the Navy because I know when we were around, he didn't do it. Obviously, he was telling me to shoot the girl. But when I wasn't around, did you ever see him do a piece of work? You ever hear him to do a piece of work? You ever see him do a robbery? You ever hear him do anything?
Nothing.
And listen, this is the point so guys don't follow this nonsense. Right. And when you went to jail, did he help you out?
Nothing.
Did he send money to your family?
Nothing.
But he had money, right?
Only worth about $25 million. I mean, you know, that's it.
So his loyalty wasn't you. Once you were gone, that was it.
I did everything for this guy, man. Literally, I did everything for him.
And how about the other guy, Gotti's nephew? He worked for you,
right?
Is that the kid that got sat in the car with the detectives or whoever your agents? And
He was talking about all crimes in his car.
He buried you with
girls. Bragging to a girl, yeah.
Yeah. So he buried you.
And then the first thing he does when he gets locked up, he invites the Daily News in and tells him he said he had to live up to his name. That's why he commits crimes. I'm like, come on, this is such a comic show, bro. How do you do that?
Yeah, well.
He invited the Daily News in to talk to him in Rikers Island. I swear to God, it's all over the news. Yeah,
it's really crazy. I got to tell you. So you know, our message really is, we're trying to show you how fake all these guys are.
It is. We want to explain. Talk down to them. We're trying to show the people. There's no point in getting involved. It's a joke. It's a persona. It's not real. You know what I mean? It's pretend. It's all smoke and mirrors. It's all bullshit. You might have one guy that's doing real stuff, and the rest of them are just living off and ain't doing shit. And just sitting back collecting money. So all you kids out there that want to get involved with this joke life, you get nothing out of it but pain and grief. That's it.
Well, you know, and to that, we're going to talk about some of the programs that you just recently got involved with me.
Right.
With Second Chance Program. It's a program that was started by Paul Newtel and his wife, Tiffany, and Michael Harry O. Harris, who's in jail for 31 years. Great guy. Founder of Def Jam Records with... Suge Knight screwed him, in my opinion, real bad. And Michael's advocating from prison, helping kids. And, you know, people say Black Lives Matter, and we all talk about Michael, and everybody talks about Paul and Tiffany about, and yourself now. All lives matter. It doesn't matter Black, white, Arabic, Indian. We don't care where you're from, what you did. We believe in hopefully giving people second chances and doing what I'm doing, the right thing. What you've been doing now is doing the right thing and passing that positive message. And, you know, really, that's what it's about. And that's why we're telling people about these other characters. Because if you follow this nonsense, you fall into the trap of bullshit. And these guys aren't about anything. We were down there doing the work. And we want kids to understand. We're telling you firsthand. And anybody who disagrees with our message, we welcome you to get in touch with us. And that song that we play by Drake, Energy, it's for you guys that are sitting there hating, talking nonsense. And any of you want to sit with us, Frankie Jadis, or anybody, we welcome you on the show. We'll put you there. You can sit. You can give your talk, your piece, give your side of whatever we're saying, or anybody else. Gotti, you know, Michael Francine, anybody, and we're going to go through names. Ronnie, one of them, you want to have somebody because you're in prison.
Hey,
have somebody speak up
for wait, me. You know, they straightened Frankie car wash out. He's like 57 years old. They weren't even going to straighten him out. They only did because he was getting abused so bad by Ronnie. They had to. I swear to God.
Yeah, that's just crazy. And the thing is with these guys, a lot of guys I know from that life and we talk to, and you know some of them, and, you know, people say, well, what are you talking to? We're not involved in crime. I ain't going to run away from guys that talk to them. Yeah, I mean, so the thing is this. Some of these guys, we're not Jehovah's Witnesses. I've said it before. We can't change adults' lives. We can only change the younger guys that want to change their lives. Some of the older guys that get in touch with us from prisons, you have a second chance if you want it. You want to do the right thing with your life, advocate. You know, we don't care if you're God-believing. You know, people say, hey, what's your faith? I got faith. Obviously, I believe in God. I have faith. Right. I have faith in religion. I have faith in the future that, it's a positive message for kids to say, hey, listen, if you want to ask us questions, we'll answer them. If you want to come on the show, you can. Hey. And the biggest challenge to all you guys are, we'll play anybody in handball.
Handball.
And give you a real spanking and play in any neighborhood. So if somebody tells you they won't come to this neighborhood, yeah, we do. We're in Ozone Park. We're in Howard Beach. We're on Jamaica Avenue. We're on Myrtle Avenue. We play in a lot of places. We played some people since I've been around and since Gene came home. So we challenge anybody that feels like they can beat us. And we give you an extra 5 minutes every time you beat us. So.
Hey, you know, I also want to say, you know, I thank you for, you know, you taking me and mentoring me. And now, you know, I have a lot of younger people reaching out to me now. And I'm mentoring them now. And I'm getting hit up from all over, not the country, the world. So I have people hit me up from Japan, from UK, from Italy, everywhere, and they're really inspired by us, and they're really happy what we're doing, and they told us to keep it up, and this is pretty amazing, man, you know?
You know what? I look at things, and you know, guys give me, tell me about a title, and, you know, and I don't want to knock guys, you know, that, like Al Diaco or Ralph Natale or, you know, the boss of Philly and or Leonetti that was there. The point isn't to knock any of these guys that cooperate or whatever they do with their life. Sal Vitale, I happen to like him when I knew him on the street, and, you know, changed his life. He cooperated, and good for him if he moved on with his life. But some of his family members that don't stick by him, it's disgusting. You know, you want to talk, you want to be loyal to something, you can't even be loyal to your own blood. So that's the people that are rats, or your friend that I know, and his
just came home.
And yes, they want to talk. If you can't be loyal to your own family, whether they're right or wrong, and you can't stand by, that's one thing I got to give props to, actually, for the Gottis. No matter what they do or say, that family does stick together with each other, the immediate family. I don't know about the cousins and, you know, a lot of these guys in their family, the Gotti family, did cooperate through the years. I don't care if they did or didn't. So let people in the world understand this. But they're not doing anything positive to talk to kids and change anything. Right. They want to send a bullshit message, and they've been kicked out of the mob. That's why it kind of irritates me. I won't use the word infuriates me. But why not send a positive message? Guys like Sal Vitale, I don't talk nothing negative about the guy. Actually, the guy went, he's wherever he is, and he kept a positive thing with his life, and he moved on. So when these guys aren't doing the right thing, yeah, we do got to check them. And when their family members turn their back on them, if you can't even be loyal to your family, how do you think you're going to be loyal to anything on the street?
Right. Yeah, that's so true. My buddy, he just got out of jail, and his whole family won't speak to him, his own family. You know, and he always says, he goes, you know, Gino, you're so lucky because your family stood by you. You know what I'm saying? Like, they...
you got his family. By. I mean, I know your mom's great to you, your aunt. Your aunt actually was looking at and really looking out for you and talking about you. I got to tell you, your cousin... So, you're blessed that way. And some of the people, some of us don't have great families like that. And they still got support groups like Second Chance Program or like what you lost. You know, people get in touch with us from all over the place, like you said.
Right.
And we go to, we're going all over schools, one-on-ones, group talks, Brownsville, Brooklyn. We got involved in, actually, you missed that one, Brownsville, Brooklyn. You got involved somewhat with me on that. But when I did the talk with, you know, the congresswoman, assemblyman, and all the people in, some of the dudes that were in prisons with me in the black community. I mean, it's really a positive message that it doesn't matter where we're from, what neighborhood. We were from the street. We know more gangsters are black and Spanish, I think, than anybody.
Right.
And
I used to call us when I was in Rikers Island. I would call my friends like, "Bro, give me 7 of these kids. We'll take a neighborhood on, bro." I swear.
And you know what the shame is? I know they're tough, wild kids.
Wow.
Someone talks to me about ethnicity and say, "Well, he ain't a gangster. He's black or something." You know, first of all, don't disrespect somebody. A man's a man. And our message to those street guys that we know, and some of them maybe never getting out of jail, and some of them are out there. Change your life, man. Change your life because we respect you. Respect you no matter what you're doing. But do something positive, like the Second Chance Program, and do something positive. Talk to some kids in schools and on the street and people that have been, you know, locked up. And they're involved in different programs like Restart programs or some of the things that we're doing. And really the message is when you go to jail, everybody knows Gene. They don't know some guy that comes off like he's a cat. No one gives a shit what he is. And he's got some title some fucking other guy gave him because it was his father or brother or cousin and his nonsense. Pete Gotti's another example. I like Pete Gotti. I happen to thought he was one of the nicest guys around, Pete Gotti. And unfortunately, he was a sanitation worker that got thrown into the mafia. He ain't a killer. He ain't a shooter. He ain't a robber. He was really a good guy. And he had a good family, and his family got destroyed. It was a disaster. I won't get into everything. His daughter testified in grand juries, and she was a nice girl. And the problem is the family got dismantled, and the guy went to jail for life, unfortunately, and really was a nice guy. There's no need for him. He had a retirement as a sanitation, you would have had a decent, good life for the rest of his life. And this shit life, what it brings up is nothing but pain. You know, guys are dying in jail, you know, victims of mine and other people, their families. It's a shitty life.
It really is.
You know, and like, you got to keep pushing.
And, And you know what bothers me the most with guys like me and you? They always call us the thug, the monster, the animal, you know, all that stuff. But where's the mafia without the thug, the animal, and the monster? How do they get their money? Like you say, I was always labeled this animal and all this, and that. But without me, then you're weak. You're nothing.
Well,
so
I got to tell you about this. With you, listen, when you're in something, you're all in. You're all in on the street. You're all in jail. When guys are walking in a prison system, whatever made guy, gangster, or anybody, they looking for you. You didn't need to look for them. You stood on your 2 feet. They couldn't stand on the 2 feet without you, just like Ronnie on the street. He couldn't make a living without you there, because he needed somebody who's going to be a tough guy. The guy that's really running the streets is you. So that's the message, really. And now you're all in a good way. So, we can't never deny that. And I never denied it. People always say I never sugarcoat that. I'll never deny all the shootings I did and, you know.
Right. I was a bad guy. You know, I always admit that. But, like, I just hate when they label us that. But where would you be without us doing that?
Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm a lot older than you, right? I got 20 years on me. And really, the message, the strong message to the kids, the younger guys and guys your age, is really from you. Not from me, because you just recently active with all this. And, you know, your message is strong, because even in the prison systems, everybody knows you. So when I was in prison and I'm getting messages, the only message I ever heard was you. You're the only tough guy in these areas was you. So, you know, I got to keep it real. You were the only guy anybody was worried about.
Listen, I'm gonna be honest with you. I had so many people complaining about me. Bobsters, bosses, everyone was just like, get this fucking kid off the street. They wouldn't stop me.
I was going a little too much.
But, you know, I was getting a little out of control. You know what I mean? But that actually put a bad bullseye on my back, because all eyes on me. Remember, your era, there's a lot of me. Mine, there's none. So it's like everything's on me. You know what I'm saying? Well,
And that's the reason why I love that song. Listen, I got to really tell you something, because not only Drake's song do I like, a lot of his songs. Energy's probably the best one that I like, because it relates to us. Right. There's going to be haters no matter what you do, whether you're an angel on the street on a good path and you never hit the streets, or you did something on the street. But here's the thing, and just like the Bible says, and the people that aren't religious don't like his quote in the Bible, you know what? No one's perfect. No one never does anything that without it. Never did a thing in life that they didn't do something wrong. Everybody did something wrong. Okay, we did a lot of things wrong. And unfortunately, but we can't change that. The only thing you can't change is moving that in a positive direction and helping kids. Because I know one thing. If I was a guy that was a young guy that had kids out there, I'd rather see you taking care of them. The guy that knows about the street, and you're going to change their lives and make sure they never go on that path. Because that's the most important thing, is you have the experience of not bullshitting. You weren't some guy that somebody stuck a spoon in his mouth and silver spoon and you had a great life. You've been in trouble since you were a little kid.
Yeah.
And you fought since you were a little kid, and you shot since you were a little kid, and you robbed since you were a little kid. And now you're on the other opposite side. So when you're giving your opinion, people are going to listen.
Of course. You know,
Michael Francis gives an opinion, he can't, because he didn't live this type of life. If Ronnie G wanted to change his life tomorrow, he can't give you a kind of opinion. Because he wasn't a tough guy on the street. Guys aren't going to understand it. But if you can go to Jamaica, or you can go to Brooklyn, you can go down to East New York, and you can talk to kids, they relate to you because you've been with them. You've been in the grind. You came from nothing. You lived this life.
Right.
So that's the most important thing, really, for the message, honestly. You know, that I don't know anybody, and back to Drake, that they're going to talk shit no matter what. We ain't never going to stop them. And the only thing we can tell them is, when you keep talking about, when guys are talking about coming for you, come on.
Hey, you know what gets me so mad sometimes too? Because, like, I did a lot of time in Rikers Island. I did a lot of time in there. And I was always usually the only white kid in the block, because all of them used to go to PC. So these kids make stories up on me that they were in there with me. I know that every time I was in a cell block in Rikers Island, I was with so many gang members that are out to this day, there was no other white guys in there with me. So they're telling these fake stories that they were in there with me. When I was in there, I was constantly attacking gang members, fighting with them, being jumped, everything. And that's not bragging, it's just the truth. You know, and I like to say, I have respect for those gang members. I really do, because they had balls, they were real tough guys, and I had a lot of respect for them. More than my own people, how about that? How about that in the street? That they would do, I'd rather have five of them than 100 of them. I swear.
Here's the thing. I think I told you about a small tough kid from Jersey, Fonz, in and out of jail, fighting like crazy. Him and his brothers are all tough kids, all of them. You know, I met him when I first came home. They know my sons. They're from Jersey. They're really in and out of jail. The one brother, the other brother got locked up a couple of times. One did one of the place. but they're fighting and they're nice kids. They're not no right. punk, you know, they're not punk kids. They're really gentlemen right. kids and tough. And really, they change their lives too. They come home, they change their lives, and it's the same message. And they really get it too now. And I tell everybody the same thing. I tell you and we the same messages. You want to punch somebody in the face, you want to hurt them, you just hurt yourself. Right. Don't keep, you know, don't keep hurting yourself. There's nothing to prove to anybody. Everybody knows. They're welcome to come, you know, and I say this, anytime they want, you got the wrong guys. If you just want, come talk with us. You play handball with us. Or if you're going to talk that crazy shit, well, then I guess you're going to come. I says, well, I'm waiting or we're waiting. And, right. You know, this ain't, you know, us saying anything, but we will protect ourselves. So right. that's the best way to say
or,
it.
Or what they'll do is they'll kill us 50 times through a computer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's all you do. They look what they do to
wait,
the president.
What do you say? Wait, trigger fingers turn to Twitter fingers.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's always going to be these trolls
on that. I'm terrible. You're dead. I'm making fake Instagram
on you. Listen, you got to remember something. They're haters. They're jealous. They're mad that you're living a good life. And the part that you get them really now is you got a book coming out. I got another book, Darkest Hour 2, coming out. We're going to be filming pretty soon because of the virus. That got slowed up. We're going to be doing that. We got a new song coming out. Both of us have a couple songs out now. So there's a lot of good things on the horizon, and people are going to hate that. They don't want to see Gene do well because the haters are always going to hate, no matter what. Doesn't matter what you do, they're going to hate. And then the good people, the 99% of population, is saying, hey, good for you, man. Send a good message. So as a guy in my position watching and hearing about you for the last 10, 15 years, honestly, I can't say, and you know, really, and I told your family this, you know, really, honestly, I'm proud of you because you came out the gate with the right mindset. And, you know, guys will say, hey, oh, he yelled. Listen, we're always going to yell. The difference is you're not reacting like you used to. You know, you're allowed to yell. It's freedom of this country. You're allowed to talk. You know, but don't react like you used to. And you haven't. And you won't. And I got confidence you won't. And it's an everyday thing. Each day that goes by, because you got a lot of positive things in your life now. And those people that are jealous, man. You know as well as I do, like I said, I'll say it again. You're the only guy I heard in this neighborhood for 15 years. And not because I know your whole family, but the truth is the truth. You know, you're the only guy I heard doing anything in this neighborhood.
Hey, guys used to come up to me and go, how are you not straightened out? He goes, oh, everybody's telling me from the first. How are you not done? You're the only guy here doing anything.
You told me your father wasn't a made guy. That's why you're your boss.
I mean,
you know, saying my father's not around, or I wouldn't be a made guy. I would love
for us to sit and talk with my friends. You just have a conversation at a table and say, let's go over some stuff. I'm 36. I confessed to hundreds of crimes. You know, this guy's 67. He don't have one shooting, one robbery, one violent crime to say that you're a mob guy.
You know what they are. Listen, they buy a cigar. I've said it over and over.
Why?
They
I hate cartoon characters.
They sell some powder and pills, and they say to themselves, oh, I'm a mob guy. All right, tell us what you did, because you're no different than a white-collar criminal, I guess. I mean, that's what you're a white-collar criminal, but you know what? Here's the thing. Even if you were a gangster, and I don't want that people follow that life, at least if you acted what you are. Act your part. If you're just a money guy, that's it. But don't come around like you're a gorilla when you never did anything.
He said they said he was the biggest gangster since Al Capone.
Yeah, I know. Well, he had no crew himself. I mean, where's his guys? You know, listen, I know his family. I know his father. I know his brother. You know, his brother got into the life and, you know, he had a little issue with drugs and he cooperated and whatever. And I'm not going to badmouth his brother either. I says, you know, his brother, you know, on my basis, I met him initially from a problem with Johnny Boy Ruggiero out in Hamptons. And I walked in our situation. But after that, we shook hands and he went his way. I got no hard feelings. And Michael, actually since years ago, we had a nightclub in Long Island. I had some dealings with him, whether he remembers that or not. I don't know. I was a young kid at the time. But, you know, this is a guy also. Be what you are, man. You're in California. You're a gentleman. You knew how to make money. You ain't what you say you are. You know, tone it down. And I never said nothing about him until recently because I didn't like that he started talking up that nonsense with Gotti. And listen, I got no personal agenda when he did that and talking bad about Sammy. But if you're about
Sammy Gravano's shoes.
If you're about religion,
they're not even the same caliber, man.
He forgets the past. If you're about religion, you're honest, number one, and you say you cooperate. Number two, your father, Sonny, might not even be a legitimate father. Number three, you're exploiting your father's name, but then you're knocking the shit out of him, and you're saying he was going to give you up to get killed. You know what? You're about religion. Why are you going down that path?
He wouldn't say boo. He wouldn't say boo to Sammy Gavano on the show.
Oh, no. When he was Sammy Gavano. My brother, listen. Real. You know, me and my brother are crazy. We fight like crazy. My brother's a tough guy, my brother. And people will say what they want. Me and him went crazy with each other. We fight with each other. We're brothers. We're crazy. We admit it. But I'll tell you one thing. I never seen him dog a fight from anybody. He actually told Gotti the same thing. Since you got a big mouth and you want to get involved in our family, whatever's going on, get in the ring with me. I'll beat you all over the street. Right. And Gotti didn't want to fight him, obviously. I mean, my brother's good with his hands. He'll never be able to fight my brother. So, you know, he could talk all that nonsense. And until he says, I'm going to be a gentleman and I'm going to talk good about kids, well, now you want to be a Latin King. Soon as the Latin Kings, by the way, get in trouble, his good friend Chicky, that he's all over the news with, and he's doing a podcast with, and he's taking pictures with his father's barber chair, needs money for a lawyer. He won't send him a dollar. Why aren't you financing his lawyer? You said you're his good buddy. I mean, you're a guy that cooperated. You did 90 tapes of YouTubes and said you had a weak moment and you ratted only because you were giving up your enemies. Every nonsense thing you can say. But you never said once, I'm going to try to help some kids stay out of this life. Instead, you're anti-Latin Kings now. So who knows
what the deal is? You know what Uncle Vinny used to call him? Vinny Sarr used to call him the Jewish Don. Uncle Vinny used to call him the Jewish Don. Yeah, I know him.
I'm just curious why he won't help this kid. You know, this guy Chicky. I mean, and actually the kid Chicky, from what I understand, really, I don't know him, is really supposed to be a nice kid. He ain't a bad kid. So, you know, he's got some other flunkies that hang around over there that, you know, that was with him too. And I don't know none of these kids' names. But you know, the point is, you went from one thing, now you ran to go and try to hang out with some kings. And if that didn't work out, now you're whatever message you're passing with them, and you left the kid to hang to dry in jail. Chicky, you won't help them. So this is typical. But, you know, I want people to see this and see where people are. This is a rich guy that won't help his buddy at all. I mean, that's the life, just the way Ronnie did to you. You collected all his money, and then he wouldn't help you. I mean, this is what people need to see, really, to understand, stay away from that life.
And I was the closest person to him, and he turned on me like I was nothing. Like I was nothing. You know what I'm saying? It's like crazy. I mean, the closest guy to him, man, and just no good.
Crazy. I mean, he's a soft guy, and the problem is these guys are all teaching the kids some nonsense about them. They never did anything. And I welcome any of their sons, since maybe their sons don't really. And I got none against any of these guys' sons, actually.
Nah, they're regular
but
guys.
What I got against the sons is they listen to their father's bullshit. They don't know any better. And if they know something that about them, go ahead, speak it. You don't got to give details so they know. You know, their excuses, well, they get locked up. No, I'm just talking about a fist fight. Tell me where they got to a legitimate fist fight. Forget about anything else. I know they never got stabbed up like me. I know they didn't get batted like me. I know they didn't get shot like me. I know they didn't get in the grind like me. But just tell me one, like, just a regular fist fight. Not about some guy, like, you could slap, like, you know, he did Frankie Cadiz. Because you know he ain't going to hit him back because he knows he's a neighbor, he's a skipper. So let's go outside that. Did you ever in the joint, you know, because we're in jails our whole life fighting everywhere. You talk to the guys in Brazil. All the guys are on a pen with me. They're going to start coming on the show too.
Right.
So these guys were on a pen with me from every country. So there is no faking here. Guys that know me from the joint and everywhere else know. Listen, so I want to know where any of these guys got into anything. Where? I want somebody to tell us about it. And we'll welcome anybody to come on the show, actually, so you can contact us. Peter Black will give you contacts. We have some sponsors. Anybody's interested in that, they can contact us. And this is an open-door policy for anybody that likes to come on, not trolling in the background. If you call up with some stupid nonsense, we're just not going to let you page it through. So that's the question. So you're going to get screened beforehand, so don't waste our time. And anybody wants to be real legit, you guys are welcome to sit with us, talk, because we're not going to abuse you that way. We'll give you a fair chance to talk and say whatever you want to do. Legitimately. You know, so I don't know if there's anything else you want to cover with them on the first show. You know, this was just an introduction for everybody to say, listen, we're on the COVID-19 thing, so we're doing this by Skype from our houses. And I know a lot of people asked us to do this. So finally, we decided to. But once this COVID's over, we're going to be in the studio. And everybody, like I said, write in, call in, email. Into Peter Black will put up websites and telephone numbers. And anything you want us to cover, we will. And we'll go direct. And same thing with Michael. We got no hard feelings with him.
Right, like I said, and also, you know, we want to tell the public, you know, I can help them out with modern generation, and you can help them with the older generations also, because, you know, we have a lot of knowledge and a lot of stuff that we can answer questions for them if they want to know things, you know? So call up.
Hey, any of those guys out there, too, and kids, men, kids, young kids, parents that want us to talk to their kids, you know, we're open to that. But here's the message. Nobody has a perfect life. Some families come from no mother and father. Some kids were in and out of jail. Some were drug addicts. Some were killers. Some were robbers. Some were, it doesn't matter to us. Reach out. And you guys, and some of you guys that want to come on the show that don't know us, that in any situations have something to contribute, we're open for you guys to give us a call and come on the show. So we're looking to help and put our hand out and put everybody in the right direction and live a good life. So hopefully we can do that, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right, everybody. Yeah, I don't know if you want to finish up with anything, but it was really you know, doing this. And I'll give you a call when we're off the air. And anybody out there, God bless you and the family, and keep safe. Let's keep it positive, everybody.
All right. Till next time. Later, everybody.
Cool.
For advertising opportunities, you can contact us directly at thejohnnyandjeanshow@gmail.com. Again, for advertising opportunities and inquiries, you can contact us directly at thejohnnyandjeanshow@gmail.com. Guys, you're at home, you're quarantined because of the COVID-19 outbreak. The casinos may be closed, but mybookie.ag is always open. Go to mybookie.ag and use promo code ALITE, A-L-I-T-E, and they'll match your first deposit for up to 50%. Guys, you're at home, you're quarantined because of the COVID-19 outbreak. The casinos may be closed, but mybookie.ag is always open. Go to mybookie.ag and use promo code ALITE, A-L-I-T-E, and they'll match your first deposit for up to 50%. For advertising opportunities, you can contact us directly at thejohnnyandjeanshow@gmail.com. Again, for advertising opportunities and inquiries, you can contact us directly at thejohnnyandjeanshow@gmail.com.